2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 20. Once, when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, he took counsel with his servants, saying, "At such and such a place shall be my camp." But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there." And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God told him. Then he used to warn him, so that he saved himself there more than once or twice. And the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." And he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and seize him." It was told him, "Behold, he is in Dothan." So he sent their horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" He said, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elijah prayed and said, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And when the Syrians came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Please strike this people with blindness." So then they were struck with blindness in accord with the prayer of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." And he led them to Samaria. As soon as they entered Samaria, Elisha said, "O Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see." So the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. This passage of Scripture wonderfully shows us that Jesus Christ, our personal Savior and Lord, is indispensable. He is our mighty warrior. He is our life. He is our forgiveness. He is our righteousness. He is our victory over all the efforts of the evil one to dismantle our faith in Almighty God. In this wonderful passage of Scripture, we see a loving, protecting deliverance from God that God still accomplishes in our lives today for those who trust him. We face an invisible enemy, Satan, who seeks to twist and destroy and pervert the gracious and good work that God does for our salvation. If I were to ask you today, who is your greatest invisible enemy? It is not any virus. Though that the virus, the coronavirus, is great, and though it is dreadful, and it has produced much havoc, it is not our greatest invisible enemy. The greatest invisible enemy we face today is Satan. And we see that the story behind all the headlines of the Bible is the invisible war between the serpent, the evil one, and Almighty God. And because we belong to Almighty God by faith, Satan has declared warfare against us as well. In Genesis 3:15, we read God saying, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. And he will bruise your heel, God promised to the woman, but your seed will crush his head. And ever since that time, there has been this great invisible war between the serpent, Satan, and the seed of the woman, who is ultimately the Lord Jesus Christ. The promise of Genesis 3:15 was a declaration of war by Almighty God on Satan and his kingdom. And the contest unfolded in the first conflict between Cain and Abel, in which Cain, who was of the evil one, murdered his brother Abel, who was the godly offspring of Eve. That battle continued between Pharaoh and Almighty God in God's great deliverance of his people in the Exodus. It continued all through the Old Testament to the coming of Jesus Christ and his temptation in the wilderness by Satan. God has always preserved his people through the Lord Jesus Christ, faithful obedience and sacrificial death on the cross. And everything in history is moving forward to Golgotha, where Jesus Christ dies for our sin and strikes a death blow to the power of the evil one. Everything is leading to the cross and the empty tomb, where Christ destroys the power of Satan. The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers, lest they see the light of the glory of Christ. Satan lost the war on Good Friday and Easter, but now his strategy has changed to a guerrilla warfare of seeking to lead us away from Christ, seeking to bring us into Christlessness, seeking to dismantle our faith in God. The Apostle Paul speaks of this invisible war in Ephesians 6, where he directs us to the fact we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And we overcome them through adhering to the Word of God, through trusting in Christ and his righteousness, through being people of prayer. Knowing his time is short, Satan pursues all of Christ's brothers and sisters, those who have trusted in him. He cites to do that through wars, through violence, through persecution, through temptation, through the trials of life. He uses methods that he's developed through many ages: persecution from without, false teaching, and division from within, to lead us away from God. This true story of Elisha at Dothan, where God delivered him from a small army of a wicked king, the king of Syria, demonstrates God's power to enable us to be successful in the spiritual battles we face. He will preserve you. He will protect you from the enemy of your soul. So this passage teaches us how to successfully engage in spiritual warfare. How do we? First, by being alert to the danger. So this true story of Elisha at Dothan, where God delivers his prophet from a small army, is so encouraging to us as we live our lives for God in this fallen world. There is a story behind this story. It is the great invisible warfare between God and Satan. So the battle began when the king of Syria invades the borders of Israel. And what he does is he engages the king of Syria in a guerrilla warfare. He moves from place to place to ambush God's people. But Israel is always one step ahead of the Syrian king's plotting and strategies to destroy them. So by the time the Syrians get to one place to ambush the Israelites, they've already left the place and gone to another. And this was because God had revealed his word to his prophet Elisha, and told Elisha ahead of time where the Syrians would be in ambush, so that then Elisha could go and tell the king of Israel where the Syrians would try to ambush them, so that the king of Israel could take precautions and avoid being there when the ambush occurred. You see, this is showing a very important truth. The gods of the Syrians are dumb and blind, where the true God of the universe is infinitely wise and infinitely powerful. God is always one step ahead of Satan. Praise his name. Satan seeks to plot and twist and pervert and lead us away from God. But we are told in Scripture, no temptation has come upon us, but what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation, he will provide the way of escape so that you can endure it. God was way ahead of Satan's plotting. When Satan worked in the hearts of the religious leaders and the Roman officials to condemn Jesus to die on the cross, Satan thought he had won a victory in that moment. But his victory was short-lived, because on the cross God declared, "Satan, you lose," and Jesus wins. For he has accomplished a death blow to your power by dying for his people to take their sins on the cross. God is always one step ahead, two steps, three steps, infinite steps ahead of the evil one. So Elisha was privy to the king's bedroom plans to destroy Israel. But every time, the king of Syria's plots were foiled, because God was on the side of his prophet Elisha and on the side of Israel. What a blessed thing it is this today and tomorrow to be able to say and know in every circumstance, God is on my side and is working for good in my life. If you look at our passage and you read verse 13, and he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and seize him. It was told him, behold, he is in Dothan." Now, it's not clear what good the king of Syria was trying to accomplish, and it's a testimony to the plight of the king of Syria, actually, that he does not know where Elisha is, but Elisha always knows where he is. Either the king wants to kidnap Elisha and do counterintelligence, or he simply wants to kill him. What is clear is that from a human perspective, Elisha is in great danger. The first lesson of spiritual warfare is always be alert to the danger. Satan, we are told in 1 Peter 5, prowls around like a roaring lion looking to devour us. And the only thing preventing the king of Syria and behind him, Satan himself, from destroying Elisha and from destroying God's people was the word of God that God revealed to his prophet. And therefore, the king of Syria wants to shut up the word of God. He wants to silence the word of God. Satan's efforts are to do anything he can to silence the Word of God, to block the Word of God from going into the hearts and minds of people. Satan does everything he can to keep us out of the Word of God, to keep us from reading it, trusting it, obeying it, cherishing it, hiding it in our hearts, because it is the sword of God's Spirit by which he dismantles the efforts of the evil one to keep us from being Christ-like. So Elisha then is found. The king of Syria knows where he is, and he sends an army against him. The city of Dothan is under siege. It's a small city, town, on a small mountain, on a plain, so it was easy to be besieged. Elisha's servant comes out, we read in our passage in verse 15. He sees the horses and chariots of the Syrians, but that's all he sees. And he does what we would all do if we were simply looking at the circumstances of being besieged by an army. He panics. He forgets the Lord's power. The servant recognizes he and Elisha are in great physical danger. You know, we sometimes face the same opposition today. The enemies of God make their plans for evil, to silence the Word of God. There is hostility to biblical teaching on street corners. There is hostility to biblical teaching in the marketplace, perhaps in your workplace, perhaps among your family, perhaps in the classroom. God's enemies will stop at nothing to silence God's word. But behind all of this outward opposition, the spiritual forces of evil are arrayed against God's work on earth. Satan received his death blow at the cross, but he has not given up trying to silence the Word of God. But we can praise God that we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places, and that we fight our battles through the strength of God's Word. And that as we take God's Word, as we use God's word, as we remember the God who is faithful to his word, God will enable us to progress in our love for Jesus, in our faithfulness for Jesus, in new experience of enrichment for Christ, no matter what the adversary does to us. So we wage spiritual warfare by recognizing the danger, by relying on the blood of the Lamb. Recognize the danger by relying on the blood of the Lamb. Do you know the word devil means slanderer, accuser, and the word Satan means adversary? Satan seeks to accuse us in the courtroom of God. If you have been a Christian for any length of time, you know what it is for Satan to whisper evil thoughts in your mind. You know what it is for him to condemn you and accuse you of sin against God. And you know that when he does so, he will say, "How can you call yourself a true follower of Christ with such thoughts and such actions?" But praise God, what we read in the New Testament is that Satan has been cast down, and while he can afflict us on earth, he cannot enter the presence of God in heaven to condemn you. Jesus said in John 12:31, speaking of the cross, "Now the prince of this world is cast down." Jesus saw his work on the cross as defeating the campaign of Satan to accuse us of wrongdoing in the presence of God. We overcome him through the blood of Jesus Christ that frees us from his condemnation. Take the sword of the Spirit and use it to dismantle every effort of Satan to bring you a sense of defeat and dread. You belong to the Lamb forever. Second, trust the invincible power of God. There are times when it's easy to be dismayed by all the spiritual opposition we face. It's tempting to look at the armies arrayed against us, seen and unseen, with all their horses and chariots, and we say, at times like Elisha's servant, "My God, what shall we do?" In his comments on this passage, Donald Gray Barnhouse compared the anxious attitude of Elisha's servant to a pessimistic statement he read in the late 1950s in a religious magazine. And I quote, "God's plan made a hopeful beginning, but man spoiled his chances by sinning. We trust that the story will end in God's glory, but at present, the other side seems to be winning." You know, sometimes we wrongly feel and think that the enemies of God are all powerful, but they are not. They are the tools in the hands of Almighty God, only to progress you further into Christ and to accomplish God's victories if you will yield your life to him. That statement is not true in any sense. Yes, there were great enemies surrounding Elisha, a whole army with chariots and horses and swords ready to kill him. Yet Elisha's not afraid. And this was not because he was unaware of the danger. He knew fully the danger. In fact, he knew the danger better than his servant did. Because Elisha always knew from the word of the Lord what the next step of the Syrians were going to be to try and ambush God's people. We read in verse 16 these marvelous words. Elisha's servant says, "What shall we do?" Are you saying that this morning? Are you overwhelmed? Are you besieged by difficulties and problems, by temptations? You need to hear these words, because your God is never besieged. He is greater than all the enemies set against us. He said, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." In saying this, Elisha was following the instructions that Moses had given for engaging in warfare. We read in Deuteronomy 23 and 4 these words, "Let not your heart faint." Do not fear or panic or be in dread of them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to give you victory. The Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight your enemies, to give you victory over them. Isn't that marvelous? You know, the same instruction applies to our own struggles against sin, or our own struggles in prayer for those we love. Do not be afraid. Trust God and keep praying. when we focus the eyes of our heart on our difficulties and our enemies, instead of on the greatness of our God, who is infinitely greater than them, then God appears to us to be weaker, and our enemies appear to be stronger, and we get overwhelmed by fear. But when we focus the eyes of our heart on the sovereign power of Almighty God, who has conquered death and sin through Christ's glorious resurrection, then our enemies appear as they are, weak compared to the almighty power of God. What could the prophet see that lay beyond the vision of his servant? Elisha could see an army large enough to defeat an entire army. What did Elisha see through the eyes of faith? He saw a countless host of the angels of God sent by Almighty God for his protection and for his care. I want to really impress this on us. Elisha saw how bad things are. He could say, yes, things are bad. Yes, we are surrounded by an army. But there are more soldiers on our side, the angelic host of heaven, dispatched to protect us and care for us, than the king of Syria ever dreamed of having. The armies of God are greater than all the armies that the devil can muster against us. The Bible frequently refers to the innumerable army of God. The Bible heightens our awareness of the angels of God that surround us. When Jacob met Esau and feared for his life that Esau, who he cheated out of the blessing, would kill him, God sent angels, met him with angels in Genesis 32, 1 and 2. And Jacob said, "This is the host of God. This is the encampment of God on my side," and it gave him strength to meet his brother Esau and to begin reconciliation. In the same way, we're told that when David was interested in military strategy, he found it impossible to count all the host of angels in heaven who came to his aid in Psalm 68, 17. David knew further that the mighty host of God are around his people to protect them and deliver them from danger. Psalm 34, 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. And we read in Psalm 91, 9 through 12, that the angels of God protect God's people in all their ways. We read in Luke 22, 43, that when Jesus Christ was praying in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he faced the greatest spiritual battle of the ages, anticipating the cross, that an angel was found strengthening him. Now listen. It was not unusual for there to be a mighty host of angels around Elisha, around God's people. It was unusual for him to see it, because rarely has anyone seen the armies of God in such splendor. But they're always there. There is an invisible world of angels that we cannot see, that we are told in Scripture, strengthen and protect and care for. The angels of God are dispatched by Almighty God to care for God's people. They are gentle enough to extend the tender care of God Almighty at His direction, and yet they're gentle enough to strengthen us as needed at the direction of God. Third, open your eyes. Spiritual battle is engaged in through prayer. Intercessory prayer is the gateway into the unseen world of spiritual warfare. Elisha's servant came to see spiritual reality through prayer. Notice what we read here is that Elisha prayed that the servant's eyes would be open. Verse 17, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. When he saw the Syrian army, he thought that was all that was there, and he panicked. But the servant couldn't see the half of it. And Elisha prays, open his eyes, Lord, that he may see. Elisha prayed, Lord, change his perception. What the servant saw in answer to the prophet's prayer was a mighty army of angels dressed for battle, dispatched by God for God's glory to protect Elisha and the servant. And the army must have been stationed on the same hill Elisha was standing on, because the word mountain is used in the singular, which means the army of angels stood between Elisha and his enemies to protect him. This whole encounter shows the power of prayer in spiritual warfare. Prayer will enable you to see things as they actually are, for the peace and confidence of your soul to be faithful to God. The horses and chariots were there all along. But it wasn't until Elisha prayed that the servant's eyes would be opened that God, by the Holy Spirit, opened the servant's eyes, and he saw the innumerable host of angels that God sent to protect them. You know, anyone who wants to pull back the veil and see spiritual reality as it is, with God and his almighty power on your side, needs to go to God in prayer. Lord, open my eyes. In these desperate times, when we wonder, Lord, are you there? We pray, Lord, open my eyes to see the promises of your word, to see that I am covered in the blood of Christ, to see that your righteousness covers me, to see that the strength of my relationship with God is not based on feelings or circumstances. It is based on what Christ provided for me. So there will always be enough strength and grace to follow God as we yield to Him. Because we are in Christ, we have access to the power of God through prayer. Lord, open our eyes so that we will see Christ is our strength, and that you have defeated the power of the evil one and will bring me safely home to heaven. One medical missionary's eyes were opened to the unseen world of spiritual warfare. The man served in a small mission station in Africa. And every couple of weeks, he had to ride a bicycle into the town to get money out of the bank to pay for medical supplies. And then he would camp overnight in the jungles on his way back with the medical supplies. And he explained God's provision and protection of him this way. On one of these journeys, I arrived in the city to collect money from the bank to buy the medical supplies and medicines and to take them back to the field hospital. And there I met a young man that I had treated 2 weeks before. He approached me and he told me that he knew that I carried money and medicine. He said, some friends of mine followed you into the jungle, and we knew you would camp overnight. We were waiting just outside the campsite for you to go to sleep. We were going to kill you and take the money and the drugs, but just as we were about to move into the campsite, we observed 26 armed guards. They were standing around you. At this, the missionary said, I laughed. And I was certainly, he said, I was certainly alone in the jungle that night. But the young man pressed his point, and he said, no, no. My five friends who were with me counted, and there were 26 who were standing armed guard around you. And so we were afraid and left you alone. So like Elisha, this missionary was surrounded by the invincible army of God. But that's only half the story. The missionary went on to explain this story at his home church in the United States. At this point in the church service, a man stood up, interrupted him, and said, can you tell me the exact day when you were facing this incident from these young men? And the missionary reflected for a moment and was able to. And then the man interrupted again and said, when it is night in Africa, it is day in the United States. When it is, and he said, that night, when you had that incident, it was day here. And I was preparing to go golfing, but God impressed on my heart to pray for you. And he impressed me so much that I called other men from the church, and I asked them to meet me in the sanctuary to pray for you on that exact day. And he asked all the men in the church to stand who were at that prayer meeting, and 26 stood. 26. God responded in delivering this missionary through the prayers of God's people for God's glory. Now, yes, God doesn't always do that, but God does exercise his power in providing all that his servants need to follow and serve him. Some it's through the conflict with enemies and difficulties, and some it's delivering them out of. The power of God. Hebrews 2:14 emphasizes the power of Christ, and it says that the Lord Jesus Christ sends his angels as ministering spirits to serve those who will inherit salvation. He can deliver anywhere, anytime he chooses, through the power of his word, through the power of his spirit, through the power of his angelic host. God is invincible. Whatever Satan hurls at you and against you, God is adequate. Be alert to the danger. Trust in the blood of Christ. Remember, there's an invincible army on your side. Remember to pray, open my eyes to see, God, your great power. And trust God at all times, in all places. He will not fail you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are on our side. and that none of the powers of the evil one can ever defeat us. Thank you for the great salvation we have in Christ, forgiveness of sins, your gracious care, your loving mercy, and your faithfulness in delivering us in time of need. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen.